Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com.
Welcome. I'm so excited about today's program because I have with me Shirley Seeger, and we're going to feature her new book called Sacred Secrets. That's right. Did you know that God is full of mystery? Things that He wants to reveal to you. Mm-hmm. Things in His kingdom that He wants to make alive to your understanding and to your experience. In fact, it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God, but the things that He reveals, they belong to you. So get ready to receive some things from God today and be enlightened into the seer anointing and into encounters in the invisible realm. Shirley, it's awesome to have you with us today.
Thank you so much.
I know that you're most of the time used to being behind the camera and producing.
Much more comfortable there.
Much more comfortable there, but we need you today.
Okay.
We need you today because our people are so hungry to grow in the seer anointing. And you have been a seer for many years. Even as a child, you were very sensitive to that dimension. And then you grew to understand from the Holy Spirit what you were seeing and how you were seeing it. So tell us a little bit about how you discovered the seer dimension.
Well, the seer dimension, it started when I was very, very young. And I experienced Jesus for the first time. And it just followed me my whole life. And I discovered that I thought it was odd. People would call me a psychic because I just knew things. I didn't understand how I knew them. I just knew them. Like even my father would say, you know, trying to fix a car problem. And I'd stand behind him and I didn't know why. I was 5 years old and I said, just turn the lever over to the left and turn it to the right. And he goes, go get the neighbor, go get the neighbor. So I went to get the neighbor, brought the neighbor over. He goes, go turn it to the right. You know, and my dad looked at me odd. And
like, how did you know that?
How did you know that? Right. And I think it's just I've always heard an inner voice, a little inner voice that began when I was very small. And it's guided me my whole life. And I never understood what the seer anointing was because I don't believe anyone talked about it.
Right.
Even talked about seeing in the spirit.
It was kind of dangerous to talk about it in a Christian environment back then because people would think that you were psychic and probably try to cast the devil out of you.
Or it just wasn't talked. It wasn't well respected. It wasn't received. And now it's like I think that this is a season of the seer.
Yes.
And God many times told me, I've told you many things. I've told you many things. It's time to bring him forward. And so I just got over that fear and thought, oh, well, just get over it and brought it forward.
Oh, I love it. Well, I love your book, and we'll be talking about that in a few moments. But I know that as she was sharing, I actually felt that there's a number of you that you had premonitions or you saw things or you had things revealed to you in dreams and things like that as a child, but you were you were told that was bad. Mm-hmm. And some of you actually did have people tried to cast demons out of you. And you cut off your seer abilities because it frightened you and you felt that you shouldn't have those abilities. And so you cut it off. But you know what? God is going to open it back up to you because he wants you to see into his realm. He wants you to see into his heart. He wants you to discover his sacred secrets. He wants you to have those things. And so I just minister peace to you, especially those of you who have been, you know, so misunderstood because of your premonitions and because of your seer anointing, because of your discernment. So
yes, I think about children being told, oh, that's just your imagination. Well, the chalkboard of God is the imagination. So it's almost like saying, just forget about that.
Right.
Because you're not sounding normal. You're not making me look good, you know?
Right.
And so if your child says he sees something, ask him what color it was, mm-hmm. you know, and
cultivate it.
Cultivate it. Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
I remember years ago. Do you remember this? When I think we were in Kelowna, British Columbia, and we found a whole bunch of little children who were seeing angels.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I'll never forget their little stories. They're so adorable. And they had drawn pictures of their angels and everything because mm-hmm. their mother knew how to cultivate
yes.
that anointing. But I remember the one little boy, when you asked him, he said, tell me what your angel looks like. He says, well, he has a helmet.
It's so adorable.
It's so adorable and so authentic.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing put on there. Just is so real what they
yeah.
saw. And your niece.
Yes.
From a very early age
yes.
was like you.
Yes.
Seeing many things, mm-hmm. but you knew how to cultivate it.
Yes. I cultivated it for her ever since she was really little. And she uses it now. And it revealed it to her. I think every single one of us were meant to see like this.
Yeah.
I think that when the spirit was brought back to life again within us, that it brought back everything that was in the garden of Adam and Eve.
Right.
And they walked with God. They lived in two dimensions. And one of the things that I experienced with the Lord is I asked him, you say in your word, I only do what I see the Father
right, so you're seeing.
And I was like, well, how do you see what he's doing anyway? And then I went down a whole learning journey on that and pursued understanding of that. And I think that that is one of my biggest advices to people who want to see in the Spirit is pursue and engage in understanding. And he, you know, he taught me. He said, it's like the innocent, or the pure of heart, will see God.
Yes.
And so one of that is to, you know, to get yourself there with God. And you can't purify yourself.
Right.
So I go and get the blood of Christ upon me. And when I stand before God, I'm completely pure. And then I can engage. And
I love that in the Bible, there's so much, so many verses about eyes,
mm-hmm.
like the book of Revelation, it's full of all the eyes that behold God in that realm.
Uh-huh.
But even the apostle Paul, he used to pray for the eyes of those
open.
At Ephesus, that their eyes would be open
mm-hmm.
to see and perceive the purposes of God. So in sacred secrets, now, oftentimes you and I have sought the Lord together. And what we'll do is we'll just go and get quiet before God and meet with him and then just start to receive everything he's giving to us. And we'll write it into our computers or our journals, and then we'll share afterwards. And there's something that's really cool that if you have someone who is also a seer that you can share back and forth, it'll actually enhance your seer anointing. It really does.
It does.
In fact, just the other day, I was needing to have a breakthrough in an area, and I'd ascended into the heavens, but I just couldn't get the connection. And so I asked one of my intercessors if she could come with me, and we could pray together. And there was something about that agreement in the spirit that unlocks it even more.
Uh-huh.
But tell our viewers how you got this book, because I remember us seeking the Lord 5 o'clock in the morning. We were there, and God took you on a journey, and that's where this book is almost like dictation
mm-hmm.
from the Spirit. You are recording what you saw.
Yes, I was awoken by the Lord at 5 a.m. and not being a morning person, that was okay. So I distinctly heard him say, meet me in the living room, but I want you to take communion first. So I went downstairs, I took communion, I went into the living room, and I felt led, and that's part of the way we hear from God, I felt led to light the 7-candle menorah. So I lit that, I sit down, and I picked up my Bible because I thought we'd start a conversation and it didn't come. So I picked up my Bible, and that was the most incredible experience I've had. I've never had it happen like that. When I read the Bible, it was like a portion of Scripture just paused and came to life. And the way I best explain it is, and this isn't how it happened, but the best way to explain what I experienced was it lifted off the page and became 3D and surrounded me. I could see, I could hear, I could touch, I could interact with that portion of time. And I, being a curious person that I am, I have always been overly curious, which was one of the reasons why this book was written. And I asked questions, what is that? What is that? How did they cook? How did Mary make up her house? You know, and what did their shoes really look like? You know, and you just, you go into it and you work it. You can't, a lot of people say, well, I can't stay with a vision. And This is funny because I even have a chapter in the book where I was on a boat with the Lord, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in a boat with the creator of the world. And then my mind wandered. And he actually said to me, stay with me, stay with me. Because I had to switch from going back and forth. And that's what it is. You have to stay with
him. Stay focused. What I love about your book, Shirley, is that it brings you right inside the encounters. Like, I had no problem when I was reading the book going right inside on the journey with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so cool about the realm of the spirit. It's a tangible realm. And so your book is actually a portal into sacred secrets. And it's like so many people who have read the book have said, oh my gosh, it's changed my life. It's opened up my spiritual vision. I perceive God in a new way now. I never knew that realm before, and now I know it. Mm-hmm. I mean, your book is so blessed of God. And when we come back, we're going to treat you, because we're actually going to read one of the chapters about a portal. And you're going to find yourself going right inside that portal. And you're going to have things opened up on the inside of you, an awareness of God, an awareness of the truth, because God is inviting you to see, to behold, to embrace, to know his sacred secrets. Oh, I love this book so much, because when you engage in it, it just opens it up. It's like you're right there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to read a chapter out of the book for our viewers.
You're
so
going to read.
It's almost like you're going to be like getting a bedtime story. So get all cozy and get ready, because you're going to love this. You can close your eyes and listen to it. But why don't you set up this chapter for us?
Well, this chapter is, I was given an angel to take me through the heavenly realm.
What was the angel's name?
His name was Jeriel. And Jeriel took me, and every time I decided to go there in the spirit, he would meet me, and then he would take me to the next place. So this one that you're about to read is called The Portal Window, and this was at the Monument of Man, and they were teaching me about the monuments of men that are all being built right now currently for each and every one of us. And we were at my monument.
Wow.
And so this is what I call The Portal Window.
I love this chapter, The Portal Window.
The Portal Window.
I looked up the steep, solid rock mountain. A window was cut into the rock about 12 feet above our heads. What is that window? I asked Jeriel. Ah, a rare sight on a human foundation stone indeed, Jeriel said with excitement. This is a Hodos Paran portal. It is an invitation. Will you proceed through it? He asked, eyes ablaze. Hodos Paran portal? What does Hodos Paran mean? I asked. Jeriel took out his dictionary, flipped through for its meaning. Hodos, a noun. A way, a manner of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Peran, adverb meaning beyond, on the other side. Hodos peran, he said gleefully, is the way to the other side. The way to the other side of what? Is it safe? I asked a bit hesitantly. Will you go through it? He asked. I looked up at the window and was both excited and afraid. What's on the other side, Jariel? I asked. I don't know, he answered. Why don't you know? You know what it's called, I said to him. You live in this dimension. So do you, he retorted. And it is on your rock. Okay, then lift me up there. It is too high to reach, I asked. Jariel unfurled his wings, grabbed me around the waist, and flew up to the window ledge. The stone was arched at the top and framed round about in solid rock. Up close, it seemed more like a cave opening than a window, but the opening was black and completely smooth and soft, like velvet to the touch. I pushed on it, but it held firm like solid rock. How do I get through? I asked. I don't know, he answered with intense interest. I've only heard of these, but have never actually seen a human engage in it before. Jariel sat down and scoured his little scroll device, which I somehow knew contained every written word in existence. I set about to discover a way through the window. Perhaps there was a secret lever somewhere. If Jesus were here, he would just walk right through it. I tried, but it didn't work. After exhausting every possible means I could think of, I climbed down the rock and sat next to Jariel, perplexed. I've tried everything. There is simply no way through that window. You have been approaching the task incorrectly, Jariel sprang to his feet. Your mind carries a belief that you came up here in your earthly body. You cannot come here in your earthly body. No flesh can come here. This place is spirit. Your flesh is still on your bed, in your room. I looked at my body, felt my arms and hands. They seemed the same. You've been trying to get through that window using the knowledge and power of your flesh alone, Jariel said. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So God's spirit has to dematerialize his body for me to pass through, I asked. No, he answered. Matthew 6:9 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So by the spirit, loose the window. I looked up at the window, closed my eyes and prayed, Lord, clothe me in your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit appeared over me like a glowing sheet and covered me. I give way to your most Holy Spirit, Lord, I prayed. Command the window to open, I heard the Spirit say within me. Window open. Immediately, the window opened and unfolded an accordion-like staircase. The staircase, in earthly terms, would be described as being made of one continuous interwoven electrical beam of light that began inside the window and grounded itself on the floor. It seemed to vibrate with power. Fascinated, I wondered how it closed and simply said, close, and the electrical beam unwound its staircase shape and disappeared back into the window again. Cool. Open, close, open, close. I could have stayed there all day watching this staircase fold and unfold, each time picking up new data on how it worked and its infinite possibilities. Much more than a staircase lies above, Jariel said with a laugh. I started up the stairs, filled with anticipation of what lay on the other side. Emerging through the window, I was hit by a massive river of knowledge. Stars and darkness were all around. It was as if the sky on earth had grown a billionfold, and the knowledge of all of it hung over me with a weight I could not bear. My senses strained for relief, and I retreated down the stairs to a corner of my world. Curled up in a ball, I squeezed my eyes shut and shook in fear. Jesus knelt down to comfort me. He gently smiled and said, "What were you expecting?" I opened an eye to see his smile and laugh that always gave me such peace. "Green grass and lakes and white birds and angels," I said. It's so big, I feel crushed." He wrapped me up in his arms until the shaking subsided. "You are still in the mindset of your flesh. To flesh, this world is beyond comprehension. Your spirit, when assisted by my spirit, is at home here. You have been brought here to educate your spirit of the possibilities and powers it carries on the earth and in the spiritual realm. What you saw was the second heaven. We will be going into it each time you come here, now that you have broken through the window." I fell asleep in his arms. Wow.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience.
And of course, each chapter invites you to more and more. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
And so when the Lord was giving you these experiences, Shirley, what did it do to your life with God? What did it do to your understanding of his realm?
Well, one of the first things is that it activated the knowledge that he's with me all the time. In everything I do, he's always there. And he taught me how much power we leave on the shelf. Because we as Christians, when we carry the Holy Spirit within us, we carry a lot of power in our lives. And we rarely use it. And so it started to activate that. And I used, you know, being the curious person I am, I started testing it. And when it would work, it would just blow my mind. I was like, whoa, that is amazing. Why aren't we all doing this? You know, and I think that if the entire church activated in the spiritual power that they're supposed to be walking in, this would be a different world.
Totally. And it's like even what Jerry L. kept telling you is, like, you're in the flesh.
Yes.
You have to be in the spirit. And I think so often we try to get understanding of the spirit realm when we're in our human mindset. Mm-hmm. And it has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Just like in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to him, but when he reveals it, then it belongs to us. So it's all by revelation.
Right. And when he gives the revelation, a lot of people look at the revelation, but they don't necessarily engage with it. So it'd be like me saying, yeah, this is what it means. And you go, oh, that's nice. So what are we having for dinner? You know, it's like you got to look at it and you have to engage in it. You have to pursue it. You have to ask questions. You have to enter into it. And it's like you have to work out your salvation. It's not that you have to do all these work.
Right.
You know, he's already done it. You just go before the Lord. You get covered in the blood of Christ so that you are pure. And it's the pure of heart that will see God. So when you see him do what a father is doing, you know what to do in that particular situation. You know how to answer at that board meeting. You know, it's just, we leave God out of the picture.
You connect to his mind. You connect to his ways. Because we are a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. So our spirit man's already fully connected to God once we're born again. Mm-hmm. Perfectly. We have the mind of Christ inside. And Jesus, he constantly moved in the spirit perfectly. He never was flawed. He never sinned. He never wasn't in the spirit. Uh-huh. Everything he did in the earth, he did from his spirit man. But he did live in two realms at the same time.
He did.
He lived in the earthly realm and he lived in the heavenly dimension. Uh-huh. And so can you.
And so do you. I mean, I walk into rooms sometimes and I go, what's going on in the spirit in here, Lord? What's happening here in the spirit? And I just wait. And I know that when you ask the Lord a question, he will always answer, always. So when you have that kind of expectation, you're going to get an answer.
Yeah, and sometimes the answers come by just knowing. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's a thought or a feeling, mm-hmm, or a sense. And so you have to learn how you're wired. How is God speaking to you? How do you know things? It just takes getting to know you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Every individual has their own way.
Yeah, and I remember one of the chapters in the book, I was with the Lord, and I was just astonished that I was with the Lord, walking with the Lord, and my mind wandered to what I was going to have for lunch or something. And so I think when people ask me, how do you see and how do you stay with it? Because they one of the questions I got asked a lot was, I can see things like that, but I can't stay with it. And my advice to you is to just practice. You know, you work out your body and you work out your finances. You got to work out your faith. You got to work out walking in the Spirit, and your spirit will start to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and it'll wax strong until it's sitting in the proper place, which is above your soul.
I love it. I love it, and I love your book, and I highly recommend that you order Sacred Secrets. You can go on our website, go to our store, and get it. It's also an Amazon Kindle. Mm-hmm. It is a book that needs to be shared around because it'll awaken you. It really will, and you'll discover the secrets. I mean, there are so many secrets. Every chapter, I can hardly wait to go to the next chapter to find out what the secret is, what the insight is, and it'll just build a revelatory portal inside your life. So God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us. And I'm praying that your seer anointing and your connection to God is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we'll see you next time. And remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really, really does.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seer's ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.